What does social media hold for 2012? Post. Oh, hello. I'm Jabalani LaFall. And on today's Central Standard, a conversation about mingling in the online scene. From blogging to tweets to Facebooking to Twittering to Flickering to Tumbling. Has the way we now communicate changed forever? We'll talk to a guy whose business is mixing business with, shall we say, interactivity. We're going to hear from experts who understand, even embrace, the evolving ways people access information. We want the latest news and entertainment instantly. And we mean now, in our hands. How do you keep up? That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Only in the era of social media could an erotic dream about actor John Larroquette become fodder not only for an actual conversation, but part of the marketing strategy for a business. This local episode of Clicks and Mortar Lore that we're about to hear brings a new, racy, and provocative meaning to the term status update. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Happy New Year. We begin the first show of 2012 with a look at the direction of social media from unique angles as we talk to a political strategist, a film critic, and a marketing guy about how we're trending and what changes they predict this year. But first up, joining us live in the studio is Jerry Nevins, head of strategy and customer happiness at Snow & Company. He's going to tell us about the aforementioned social media campaign that became racy and controversial and urban legend, which now has spawned the name of a drink, we're going to find out. Jerry Nevins, welcome to the show.
And thanks for having us.
So, the John Larroquette sex dream, what does it have to do with social media?
Oh, goodness, it's a long, long story. But, the John Larroquette sex dream was the name of a cocktail that came about through a conversation via Facebook with one of our fans. She was talking about a dream that she had about John Larroquette that was, as you said, a little bit racy. And said, that might make a good drink name. Would we ever consider naming something like that? And we said, well, if you help us get 1,000 Facebook fans, we'll think about it. And that's kind of where it started off.
Kate O'Neill is the blogger, actress, and dreamer in question. Had a Facebook conversation with her last night. We won't get into details of the John Larroquette dream. That's between her and John Larroquette. But she ended up getting 500 Facebook friends, correct?
Yeah, she got us all the way to 1,000. So,
she eventually got you all the way to 1,000.
Yeah, she did. So we actually started the bet with her, and she didn't quite get there. So the deal that we made in the interim was that on January 4th, which was the start date of Night Court, which is where that kind of came up from, that she would be able to come in and we'd have that drink available for her and her friends on that day only. We re-upped the bet with her when we got a little bit closer to 1,000 and said, hey, do you want to, go ahead and restart this bet. And then she got us all the way to 1,000. We had the kickoff party and she marketed it, sent it out to all her friends via Facebook and Twitter. And one of her friends actually then put it out there on their social media site. And they brought a ton of people in just to kick that drink off.
So that's an example of a full integrated clicks and mortar strategy, so to speak.
Yeah, you had people that were there promoting us just because they had an idea that took hold and got to go live, and they got to kind of see it through from beginning to end.
And you can find more details about Kate's story, by the way, and how it all unfolded, to use a word, turn of phrase, on centralstandard.org, where we have a blog post detailing some of the predictions in social media that are abounding in 2012. Tell us about Snow & Company, Jerry, why its early strategy involves so much tweeting and Facebooking, even before the place even opened.
Yeah, we started doing that because we hadn't even found a place yet. Our concept is artful frozen cocktails. Frozen cocktails are normally seen as something that's kind of a lesser than cocktail. You're usually trying to hide the spirits that are in them, and they're made with corn syrupy type mixes. We were doing something different that we hadn't seen anyplace else, so we had a lot of explaining to do, and Facebook and Twitter were great places for us to do that, because people were able to converse with us and learn about what we were doing and why it was different, and then spread that to their friends once it took hold.
Were you able to build early excitement before you had found the site and sort of build buzz or build conversation about so-called artful cocktails?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we would do things like private tastings where we were actually making up the drinks. We'd bring people in for feedback. They would Facebook or tweet about their experience there and what they were doing. And we started that up probably in March and hadn't found a site and signed on the lease until June of 2011. So we were there several months before talking about what we were trying to do, why we felt like we needed to be doing it, and getting people excited about trying it.
So you essentially existed in cyberspace before you existed in real life.
Yes.
A virtual startup before the actual startup.
Yes. And many people would have said, they're like, wait until you get your place and do it that way. But we knew that, first off, it's really hard to break through and get people to understand that you're a new business and you're starting. And we didn't want to wait until we opened the doors to get that buzz going.
So how exactly, since you're a veteran now, how exactly should a business that's not high tech leverage social media? Jerry?
The biggest thing is just to get started. I think you read a lot about, and I've read a lot about, how exactly you do this. And the myth is that you kind of pop out fully formed in your social media identity. But you have a lot of learning to do. You got to figure out what people respond to, what messages they pass along, what messages they don't pass along, what gets you followers, what gets you blocked or dropped. And you got to keep an eye on all of that. And so the first thing is just to start, get in there, start playing with the tools. And Facebook and Twitter both are really great at letting you see what's spreading, how people are using your site, and what they find valuable.
A lot of people get excited about the term social media, and they see the success of Facebook and the widespread usage of Twitter, and they just get excited. When should you use social media?
That's a great question. You should use social media when you feel like you've got an idea that's worth spreading, and an idea that will be reproducible. There's an interesting book that I read. It's by Dan Zarella called The Hierarchy of Contagiousness. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a great short read on social media, a lot of scientifically based evidence on what works and what doesn't, at least in his opinion. And that's kind of how we put together our framework for our social media. It talks a lot about the reproduction rate of ideas, and not necessarily just is it a viral idea, but is it a reproducible idea in the terms of, illness and contagion? How far does it spread past that initial point?
So what's your quotient so far on the hierarchy of contagion?
We're doing well. I don't think we're at a row of what did he say it was, one or more, which is kind of hard to get to. But we're doing well. I mean, the message is spreading. We're up to close to 1,400 fans on Facebook following us, and I want to say close to 400 on Twitter. The bigger that number is, the better you're able to spread your message and get people to know more about who you are. So to your question about, when should you use it, it's to, get out what's different about your business or your idea that you want to have spread out there. Because I think the thing that social media allows you to do is ask yourself, is this something that I'm truly comfortable throwing out there to the world? And do I feel comfortable explaining what it is that I do on a daily basis?
And besides the aforementioned John Larroquette sex dream that led to an event that led to the name of one of your frozen drinks that led to some social media clicking and liking, as it were, how do you measure the results of social media campaigns as a small brick-and-mortar business?
Well, it's no one company, just as it would be with any other business. Those tools are provided for you in the social media itself. So you can go into Facebook and go into the Insights tab and take a look at how your likes are trending, what your viral reach is, and it graphs it right out there. You don't have to be any type of a tech whiz to see that. I can go in there and take a look at what the most viral messages were that we had, analyze that and say, what was it about that message that really rang true with people? You can take a look as well at what time you're posting those things and when you're getting the most response. Should you be posting at 8 o'clock in the morning? Should you be posting on weekends versus weekdays? But all of that is right there for you to take a look at. And again, I'm even able to take a look at when people unfriend us and look back at the messages and say, oops, what was it about that message that really turned somebody off?
Are you on Foursquare yet? That's a more brick-and-mortar-oriented social media business.
Yes, we're on Foursquare as well. So our mayor is Josh Coleman right now.
Tell us a little bit about your current mayor, Josh Coleman.
Josh Coleman is he's our one of our big fans. He's also the brother-in-law of one of the owners, Andy Talbert. But he's there on a daily basis and has lunch and checks in, so he has earned the right to be the mayor.
There you go. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR and streaming live on KCUR.org. We're keeping it local with Jerry Nevin, owner of a bar, restaurant, and lounge, Snow & Company in the Crossroads, which had a quirky social media campaign involving a racy dream about John Larroquette by local actress Kate O'Neill, which resulted in an alcoholic beverage bearing the actor's name. Kansas City, how do you think the way we use social media will change in 2012? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCURCST. What's in the John Larroquette sex dream, Jerry Nevins?
That is made with Oddly Correct's Pot Kettle Black Coffee. And if you're a coffee drinker out there, I highly recommend you stop by Oddly Correct down there on Main Street. Greg's a great guy. But we've got that blend with Herradura tequila, Tuaca, and a house-made simple syrup that we use.
Now, I'm going to go a little bit on a limb here. The elements of her dream, was that based on the ingredients?
We did take a look at the elements of Dan Fielding from Night Court. We felt like the tequila was definitely representative of his personality, as well as the Tuaca. It's a vanilla-flavored liqueur with hints of citrus. So you've got a little bit of that sultry sweetness that Dan Fielding can have when he's trying to seduce someone, but you've got the hardness of the tequila as well. So most definitely.
That screams Dan Fielding.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, for Kate's backstory, an actual blog post on the issue and a picture of John Larroquette holding some panties. We have those details on centralstandard.org, along with some forecasts for social media usage in 2012. Speaking of which, Elliot on Twitter says a lot of people talk about trends they want to see in social media. He'd like to know what Snow & Company hopes we avoid. Speaking of which, Jerry Nevins, when does social media become overkill for a business? Can you give us some examples of when a social media campaign just isn't necessary?
Yeah, a social media campaign, first and foremost, is a conversation with people that follow you. When it gets to be a little bit too much, in my mind at least, is when it becomes a out-and-out marketing campaign. And it's very difficult to kind of, you know, toe that line between the two. It can very easily devolve into, here's our specials, here's when we open, here's, you know, what we have in the store that day. And a lot of people don't want to necessarily hear that. They can go to your website to find out when your specials are. So you have to balance that with being fun, being conversational, finding the voice of your whatever it may be, your consultancy, your store, your business. You have to find a voice, and it has to be personable because it is connections between people, your business and other people. So you don't want it to just be a marketing campaign where you're just posting specials. That's when I think it doesn't do you any good to have social media.
Or set up a social media account and not be active.
Absolutely. You have to be out there. It's a conversation again, and it's no different than a conversation that you'd have in real life. You wouldn't sit there in a group of people and never talk. It's kind of pointless. People are just like, why are you here? It's the same thing with social media, but it's there forever. So if people go to your account and see that you're not active, then they're less likely to friend it and follow it, and you might as well spend your time on other tactics.
Another opinion on how social media might change in 2012 from Steven on Twitter. He says, I think we'll see even more integration of businesses using social media technology to target the customers, speaking of those apps and those customized things and those ways to measure, such as Facebook Insights that you talked about. Jerry, how do you use social media differently as an individual user versus being a business owner?
Personally, with Facebook, I'm more likely to post just funny things or more personal things, let people know about things that are important to me, like, hey, my son just lost a tooth. That's something that's exciting. As a business, if I get a new piece of machinery in or something like that, I'm not going to post something like that because people really just don't care about that as a business. They want something that's relevant to them versus something that's relevant to me. So the difference in my mind is you have to post things that are relevant for other people versus people coming to see what's going on in your life.
So, no, my son just lost a tooth. By the way, try the Bahama Mama. That's not going to happen. You're not
probably
mixing, you're not,
not
mixing business.
Probably
pressure.
Not. There is the occasional time, perhaps, but for the most part, yeah, it has to be something that engages them and excites them and allows them to contribute to a conversation. Just as we've done with some of the naming of our drinks, we allow them to take a look at the ingredients, come up with names, and then vote on those. Versus us just announcing, "Hey, we came up with something."
Jerry, real quickly, if you could handicap uses for social media and small businesses for the months and years ahead, what would the approach be?
I'm not quite sure I understand that.
If you could predict it, what do you think the approach is going to be going forward?
The approach going forward for social media, it's kind of a hard one. It evolves so fast. Obviously, Twitter has taken off. Maybe a year ago, I wouldn't have really considered it much of a venue, but it's becoming more and more of one. You mentioned Foursquare. A lot of those geolocation services are really what's popping up, and we've even started using one called FrontFlip, where people have to physically be in the spot, and then they connect through that, can get free things, and it connects us back into some of the major platforms like Twitter and Facebook. But yeah, it's so hard to predict. I don't know that I'd be the right person to even ask that one.
Well, we got some experts coming up as we go into our break. Jerry Nevin, head of strategy and happiness at the restaurant and lounge Snow & Company in the Crossroads, is our guest, talking about the uses of social media in local businesses and the role of social media in 2012 and beyond. Meanwhile, Kansas City, how do you think the way we use social media will change in 2012? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @KCURCST. And welcome back to Central Standard, and Happy New Year. The Mayans weren't the only sages with predictions for 2012. This year, social media predictions abound. The explosion of dedicated sites related to videos and photos, such as Tout, Vidi, and Instagram, more apps to prevent content overload, and of course, businesses will define more minutely what their social media strategies will actually be. In the world of social media, news travels fast, especially for our guests joining us now. Harris Wilder is a political consultant, and Sean Edwards is a film critic of Fox 4 and founder, proprietor, and evangelist of the website iloveblackmovies.com. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, what's up, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's 2012. This is it. It's the last year.
The first time I've ever appeared with an evangelist. I'm really excited.
Well, let's get right into it.
You should be.
Evangelize. Let's talk about how both of you use social media. What are your preferences, Harris, Facebook or Twitter?
mildly Facebook, but we were just talking before coming on the air. I really, really am starting to withdraw from Facebook. I don't care where you had your yogurt. I don't care. Most people think they're interesting. All of us think we're interesting. We're not. I mean, we're just, most of us aren't interesting. And I know that sounds horrible, but the truth is I don't have time now to go through all these notifications and figure out, you know, which ones I want to read and not. So it has to be something. It has to be a name I really recognize out of these hundreds of so-called friends of mine.
So you can parse that information and work with your clients and carry on political conversations better on Twitter, you think?
Yeah. I think Twitter is better suited to it, because in Twitter, you're having direct response with one person, generally speaking. You're responding to that.
Sean, Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare?
It all depends on how you couch that question. You know, from a personal standpoint, I'm sort of into Facebook because Facebook is like an electronic scrapbook. So if I'm on there doing some personal information, gotta love my Facebook. From a business standpoint, you know, you gotta have both, but it also depends on your target demo. Because Facebook is like an electronic scrapbook, Facebook's more suitable for a mass audience, mass mainstream audience. But if you go on Twitter, you can talk directly to the peeps you need to hit. And in general, you know, Twitter is more suited to more urban dwellers, you know, your hip hoppers, your skateboard kids, your political junkies. So there's more of an urban vibe to Twitter right now. Facebook's for the whole world. It's more of like your grandma's scrapbook or your senior year scrapbook because you're posting, you know, random photos and talking about random things, where Twitter's like a machine gun because you can go rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat with all the information you want to get out very quickly. It's aggressive. It's energetic. And I love it. But I love all forms of social networking, but not the social aspect of social networking. I like it for hardcore business purposes.
Hardcore business purposes, rat-tat-tat-tat on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's like a machine gun, baby. It's like a Uzi. You just load it up, 140 characters, done.
How has social media changed what you do besides machine gunning your fans?
Social networking has made the ideas that I created on a blank piece of paper live and live like crazy globally for a very little amount of money.
You feel the same way?
Well, that was beautifully said. That can't be topped right there. It really can't. But I would say this. Politics is a different world. And
yes.
Politicians are generally years behind the public. And they continue to be years behind the public. You know, the first real use of social media, of course, was by the Obama campaign. It really, in some ways, the 2008 election was an unfair fight because Obama was light years ahead of the McCain campaign. They had really no clue. Now, I do think the Republicans have started to catch up, and we will see in this cycle whether they can do anything.
Sean, has social media changed local news, as some might suspect?
Wow. Social networking has totally slaughtered local news and forced local news to either join the parade or sweep the streets of all the garbage after all the people have watched the parade go by.
Okay, that is a very damning assessment and a very quirky and catchy assessment, but can you be specific?
No, I can totally be specific. Here's the deal. I work for Fox 4 News, and I think Fox 4 is one of the local newscasts, and I have a little bit of bias here, but I think we're one of the newscasts that really embrace social networking early, and we've done a good job of incorporating it into our newscast. Here's the deal. The one thing that local news cannot do anymore is break news. I found out Michael Jackson died when I was at Disney World. I found out there was a tsunami in the middle of the night when I was in my bed because my phone beeped and I got the news flash. So the one thing local news cannot do anymore is break news. There's no more time, and you do not have time to develop a story, to research a story, take your time and get it right because the facts come across so fast. But at Fox 4, we've done a great job of incorporating Facebook into our newscast because the one thing social networking has done, it has turned everyone into a sort of a amateur journalist. Anyone, anywhere can report the news at any time via an iPad, your cell phone, however you want to do it, your laptop. So everyone can report the news now. So everyone's sort of a journalist. But we've done a good job of engaging our viewers by incorporating Facebook and Twitter into our newscast, incorporating Facebook and Twitter into our website. Because now if you utilize social networking correctly, you have a much larger reach. You have now gained a much larger audience because you don't necessarily have to sit in front of your television in your living room at 6 p.m. to watch Fox 4 News. You can get Fox 4 News 247, 365 on various platforms. And it's also a great marketing tool as well. Because now our newscasts have become much more interactive. We have much more of a connection. We have much more exposure. And in terms of what I do, I can share what I do across several platforms. So if you didn't watch the newscast on television, you can catch it whenever you want. You can catch it an hour from now, a month from now, a year from now.
And that's what we do here on KCUR with the Central Standard blog and KCUR.org and the radio broadcast you're living to right now.
But it's not a matter of just doing it. You have to be creative in how you do it.
Let's go to Harris Wilder. Your clients and political savvy people are decidedly local. You can get the news. You can get the information instantly, but not necessarily the facts instantly. How do you handle that as a political strategist there, Harris?
Well, I tend to be a big picture guy, A. So I talk to my clients more about values and what they stand for. What is their brand, if you will, if you want to use the terminology of marketing? Because what has happened with the 24-hour, 24/7 news cycle and the interactivity that was just being discussed, it is no longer top-down. It is no longer that a political campaign decides that they are going to tell their followers exactly what they're going to believe. It doesn't work that way anymore. So you have a very different universe than you had even 3 or 4 years ago. Right now, you can literally have a campaign come together or fall apart in a 1 24-hour cycle. Newt Gingrich's crash in Iowa now is a remarkable thing, now brought on by massive carpet bombing by Romney and others, you know, on the paid media. But still, it clearly shows that people's ability to discuss these things interactively has been hugely enhanced.
Speaking of which, you were once described by Tony's KC as an avid social media user and blogger and as one of the hardcore denizens of Kansas City politics. How do you deal as a political strategist with this sort of real-time democratization of opinion?
Well, first of all,
a denizen.
You know, I love Tony, and he's been very kind to me. But, you know, you can't always believe what you read in Tony's, you know. So,
or on Twitter, or on Facebook, for that matter.
Right. His description of me probably would leave some people aghast. I don't know. I think that sorting through what's true and what isn't true has become much more difficult.
Harris, how would you say a story about a candidate making its way around Twitter or Facebook has changed your approach as a political strategist?
Well, it all started, really, it started in 1992. There's a famous movie made during the Clinton campaign of 92 with Carville, Stephanopoulos, and Begala. And they had something called The War Room, which was for rapid response to allegations that would be made about then-Governor Clinton. This is now upgraded on steroids. Now it is instantaneous. You must have people on staff who are ready to respond instantly to allegations, true or untrue. A lot of times they'll be untrue, particularly if you're a Democrat running against a Republican. But the fact of the matter is you have to be prepared with a Twitter response, with a Facebook response, with a social media response immediately.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM on your dial, KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're talking about the changing landscape of social media as it relates to news, politics, and entertainment. Our guests are Harris Wilder, a political consultant, and Sean Edwards, who reminds us he's a film critic for Fox 4 and founder of I Love Movies, BlackMovies.com. Excuse me, I Love BlackMovies.com. Kansas City, how do you think the way we use social media will change in 2012? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or since this is a discussion of social media, shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org and Facebook at the 89.3 page. You can also tweet us at KCURCST. Let's bring in Sean Edwards. Is it necessary now to be unique and cut through all the content streaming in real time via several social media outlets? How do you get around content overload?
See, that's the problem now with the ever-expanding world of social networking is because there are so many different platforms. Keeping up is the ultimate challenge in the future because there's so many different mechanisms. There's Facebook, Twitter, Wikipedia, you know, your website. Let's not forget about our websites. I mean, there's so many different platforms that the challenge is keeping up with everything that's out there. And that's what's eating up a lot of time. That's which that makes it very difficult to master, you know, social networking across the board. You almost have to pick and choose a couple and become the master of those, and then maybe dedicate a little amount of time to the other different platforms. But you got to determine who you're, like I said, it's very important to determine who your demo is and what's the message that you're kind of trying to get out. How are you trying to utilize social networking? You know, if you're just a casual person, social networking, one platform may work for you. If you're a business, one may work for you. If you're an aggressive business, or if you're a politician, or if you're entertainment, you know, all these different facets, you know, appeal differently and utilize people utilize the social platforms differently to access the types of information that they're looking for.
What has to change? You, for instance, run ILoveBlackMovies.com. There are movie trailers, there's movie criticism, there's all types of movie and film genre, but you're concentrating specifically on black movies. Do you have to now get a specific niche to build a social media brand?
Yeah, you do, because the first challenge at I Love Black Movies was to figure out what types of platforms did our audience want to use to obtain the information that we were putting out there that they were looking to gather. And we found that out because our core demo is 25 to 45-year-old black women, and black women love Twitter. And now they're catching on to Facebook. So naturally, we concentrated on Facebook and Twitter because that's where our core audience was going. So once you figure out where your core audience is going in your demo and how they like to utilize social networking, and you concentrate on those elements until they die out or they discover something new. But it's like a race, and you always want to be out in front, because if you're not out in front, you're going to lose your audience, because it's easy to get an audience. Like, you can get a lot of people to like you on Facebook. You can get a lot of people to follow you on Twitter. But retaining that audience is the ultimate challenge. You have to retain that audience. And we've done a good job at ILoveBlackMovies.com because we figured out the type of information that our audience wants and how to deliver that information to them so they're comfortable, so they like it, so they keep coming back, so they stay with us. So, you know, our retention rate on Facebook has been incredible. We hit like 13,000 and we've been growing and we don't dip. Twitter's been sort of a different challenge because it's been hard to decipher with our audience the people who want strictly movie news and the people who like to kind of like fade over to the gossip side, and the two don't coexist. So you got to sort of like figure out those challenges. But we've been very successful with our website and Facebook, have some challenges with Twitter, been playing around with Tumblr, doing some other things to kind of like figure out how to make our audience happy.
His core audience is black women and movie lovers. How do you craft a political message, Harris Wilder?
Well, obviously, full disclosure, I mean, I only help Democrats. So, there is a difference in the approach. And the reason I say that is you're asking how you shape such a message. You know, the Democratic Party, the Democrats have a core message, which is about economic justice and wealth distribution. And the way you have to craft those messages is to appeal to the broadest segment of the population. Now, of course, it was non-political people who came up with the very best slogan of all time, you know, "We are the 99%, which no Democratic consultant, no paid hack like me could ever come up with. Now, I don't know who came up with it, but it was genius. So you have to do that. One thing that I wanted to mention with Sean talking about maintaining the audience, the next phase of media companies are into the measurement of these sentiments. That's the next phase. And I know there are a couple of good companies there's one company in town here, Spiral 16, in Overland Park. And there's another company, Radiant 6. And they actually measure sentiment very, very precisely. It's not just like, it's why do you like them? How do you like them? In what way do you like them? What time of the day do you like them? So forth and so on.
We're talking about the next phase of social media and how it affects our daily discourse. We're going to be joined now by Joe Soto, the CEO of One Social Media in Des Moines, who joins us for this discussion on forecasting trends for social media in 2012. Welcome to Central Standard, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We have a question in from Michael, Joe, that is suited straight for you via Central Standard at KCUR.org. He messaged us saying, what do you think about Google Plus versus Facebook or Google versus Facebook, the battle for social media dominance in 2012?
Well, that's a great question. That's a question people have been asking us over the last 3 months since Google Plus really had its initial surge. First of all, keep in mind that when Google Plus came out, 10 million people signed up for it in a blink of an eye. But within a few weeks after that, it was being reported that more than 70% of the people who joined Google Plus were not active. And that's because people love to jump on the bandwagon without having any real plan or strategy or knowing why they're doing something. They just do it because someone tells them to do it. So Google Plus coming out was I think, a major, probably one of the biggest things that happened in 2011 in terms of social media. But what's going to happen in 2012 is people are going to start learning it. They're going to start learning the value of Google Plus and maybe the ease of use over social sites like Facebook and Twitter, because it's kind of a hybrid between the two. And I recently wrote about this in an article for a publication in Iowa about how Google Plus will have, an emergence in 2012 as there's new books being released. The author of Trust Agents, Chris Brogan, just released a book called Google Plus for Business. I think businesses that read that book will embrace it. But at the end of the day, now people are stepping back saying, how do I use Google Plus and is it worth my time because it's just another social network? I believe that if Google Plus had came out prior to Facebook, Facebook would have wouldn't have a chance because it's that good, and it's that good of a hybrid, and it's very simple to use, and it helps you separate out your friends. It helps you set up circles, right? So you can separate your friends from business, from other colleagues and so on in different circles that you want to set up. So it becomes, I think, a better social media site for what social media is intended for, which is all areas of your life, but you don't want to use one for the other, like you heard some gentlemen talking about earlier, keeping it separate from business to personal. And Google Plus allows you to do that all within one site easier and simpler than what Facebook has done, as they've constantly made new changes to their platform over the last 12 months. So,
we've heard your opinion.
Again.
We've heard your opinion, Joe, on Google Plus. Tell us real quickly before we bring the other gentleman back into the discussion, Sean Edwards, a film critic with Fox 4, and Harris Wilder, a political consultant here live on Central Standard. What does One Social Media do? Your company.
We're a social media marketing agency. So we help businesses, small, medium, and large, throughout the country, manage, monitor their social media. So, for instance, if a business comes to us and says, we've been running our social media for a year, but we now need to have a strategy put in place to make it so we're actually putting the systems in place that we can properly measure or use Radiant 6 and all these different things you've heard discussed here, we'll help bridge those gaps. So we're an outsourced social media marketing agency and consulting firm.
This outsourced social media agency and consulting firm has raised the ire of Sean Edwards here in the studio, who was shaking his head as you talked about Google Plus, Joe. Sean, you want to chime in with what you think about Google Plus versus Facebook and the usage?
Well, I think if you talk to real people, Google Plus is late in the game, late to the party. You know, if you go to a club and the club is banging, is hot at that moment, and everybody's like, yeah, that was a hot night. You get to the club late when it's fading down, and you missed out on all the hypeness. So I think Google Plus is like that kid who shows up to club after the hot DJ is gone and the hype is over.
Well, Joe, respond to that sentiment, because it's thought, at least on its face, that Google Plus would be able to leverage the search capability and dominance of Google in the search game, which is the 800-pound gorilla of search, and people's searches could be customized based on their social media experiences. Isn't that the sort of conventional thinking as it relates to Google Plus?
Absolutely. And one of the things that's going to be interesting about, you know, watching Google in 2012 is they kind of have a monopoly on search, just like you're suggesting. And with Google Plus and the Plus One button and businesses starting to embrace that, I think you're going to see a reemergence of this late player being Google. If there's anybody who could beat Facebook out, it would be Google Plus, but they are too late. So then you have to look at it and go, is this an additional or supplemental social network that I should have a presence? Because there's going to be people in 2012 that will gravitate, and they already are, into Google Plus over and above or beyond or in addition to Facebook. And if that's the case, it becomes just another platform that you may want to have a presence or have a voice on, so you're capturing as broad of an audience as you can within the demographics that you're aiming for. So I think it is late in the game. I think that if they had started sooner than Facebook, they would have had a better shot. But I think that Google, because they've got the search engine dominance, and they're going to put so much weight to people with this plus one button into the search, and they're already doing it with their new Panda algorithm that they just released just a couple of months ago for the new algorithm going into 2012 for Google Search, you're going to see that Google Plus then has a place because it has a bigger and better place more dominantly on Google than Facebook ever will.
Everybody likes pandas. Everybody likes pandas, indeed. Harris Wilder, do you see the evolution of social media by way of Facebook insights and polling and measurement of trending on social media, particularly a good tool for you as a political strategist?
Well, first, getting back to the comments that he just made, I think there's another reason why the Google platform will take off to some extent, and that is Facebook saturation. I think culturally, there are a lot of people who just don't like the big brotherish feeling of Facebook. And again, they've done as a business, they've done a great job, and I can't fault Mr. Zuckerberg for his efforts, but I think there are millions and millions of people who are not particularly enamored of Facebook, and Facebook has had numerous issues with privacy policy and so forth. Not that Google hasn't, but I think you're going to see some movement toward Google. And refresh my aged memory, Jabalani.
Let me refresh your aged memory. The question was, how do you see trending tools and analytics on measuring social media usage as germane to you in your political strategy?
Well, I think for one thing, I think it has totally revolutionized political polling. I mean, political polling now is a crapshoot compared to the kind of metrics that can be produced from social media platforms. I mean, really. And again, statistics is still a science. Although, who was it? Mark Twain. There's
lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics.
Yeah, the lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Speaking of which, Joe, what are the lies, damn lies, and statistics that are going to take us further in 2012 in terms of measuring and finding quantifiable ways to get return on investment, not only of opinion, but of business models in 2012 for social media? Give us some of those. I guess there's nothing.
No, I'm here. I didn't know if that was directed to me. I couldn't hear if you said Joe or not.
But Joe Soto.
Here's how I suggest people look at it is that, and I'm writing this as a chapter in my upcoming book, and that is that most people don't know what to measure, let alone how to measure it. So first of all, you have to distinguish what metrics am I really going for. You know, is it about numbers? Is it about how many people I have that like my Facebook? Is it about how many people are following me on Twitter? Is it about how many people are viewing my YouTube videos and so on? And while that's a metric that you can look at, it isn't a deciding factor of whether or not your social media has been successful. And it doesn't give you any type of measurement. So using sites like Radian 6, which can be a little expensive, I would suggest people start with something smaller like Sprout Social, which can measure your engagement and give you enough metrics to know whether or not what you've strategized is actually working for you or giving you some return. And looking beyond Google Analytics and beyond just traffic, but saying what's causing that. You know, if you look at why some people will use Google Plus, some people will use it just because of the traffic. For instance, if I got 1,000 shares on my blog post from Facebook because somebody clicked a little share on Facebook or Facebook button, or I got 1,000 retweets, that won't have the same weight as 1,000 plus ones that show up on a Google search because someone's hitting that little plus one that can be connected to your Google Plus account, because that's going to help influence the search success. So some people have to look at what will the numbers mean per site, per strategy.
Well, Joe, what we're finding out here in this, what we're finding out here in this discussion is that people have their social media presence and preferences, and social media is good for self-promotion. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're talking about the changing landscape of social media as it relates to news, politics, entertainment, and business strategy. Our guests are Sean Edwards, a film critic for Fox 4, founder of ILoveBlackMovies.com. Harris Wilder is a political consultant. And joining us on the phone from Des Moines, Iowa, is Joe Soto, the CEO of One Social Media, a media branding and strategy company up there in Iowa that measured social media and does social media campaigns. Joe, quickly, what's your prediction for where social media goes in 2012?
I think that people will start avoiding one of three mistakes in 2012, and this is where the predictions lie. Number one, I think that people will stop just jumping on the bandwagon and jumping in all these social sites for the reasons that someone just said, hey, just do it. People are going to start strategizing and creating social media plans no different than they would creating a business or marketing plan for their business. Number two, I think people will stop using social media to overpromote their business. Social media is a place to go to give value first, and they'll use it for connecting and for lead nurturing and for developing and reinforcing customer relationships or relationships with potential prospects or those that can refer them. And number three, they'll start learning what they've got to be measuring, and they'll start using the tools that are more readily available today than ever before to actually get it measured. And that'll be a big push. And then lastly, I think you're going to see a huge push into video. Video content is king on the internet right now, and they're predicting that in 2012, 70% of all website traffic will come through video. So if businesses aren't adopting to video and aren't starting to say, hey, what type of video strategy I need to have as part of my social marketing and social media strategy, they're going to be missing and losing out to the competition that does. So I think they're going to embrace video.
We mentioned Viddy as a comer in social media, and we also mentioned several trends that are ahead in social media on our own blog post on centralstandard.org. Be sure to check that out. Sean Edwards, you deal with video all the time.
I was going to say, we haven't talked about the big monster out there in terms of social networking, which is YouTube. I mean, without a doubt, that's really helped, like, spring I Love Black Movies forward, because YouTube makes it a lot easier for people out there, because they want to watch things happen. Hey, ain't nobody reading. Who's reading? Nobody's reading. Come on, let's get real with it. You know, people will much rather see me deliver a movie review than read anything, or like my celebrity interviews, you post them on YouTube. And, you know, YouTube's totally changed the world of Hollywood. I mean, you can find trailers there. You can find celebrity interviews, behind the scenes, set visits. I mean, it's YouTube's crazy. The I Love Black Movies YouTube channel is sick. I mean, we get views after views after views. We actually partner with the company out in L.A. called Black Tree Media, and we just provide urban entertainment to go along with the I Love Black Movies experience. And it is an experience, because we get comments from people who watch the YouTube videos on their 70-inch flat-screen TVs. It's awesome.
Certainly, I haven't had a TV since the George W. Bush administration.
Don't need one.
Hook it up to an LCD screen, and I'm good to go.
You don't need a TV.
Harris Wilder.
I just want to translate for Trump when he says sick. That's good.
Sick is good.
Yeah,
sick is good.
Crazy.
It has nothing to do with health care reform or health care plan. Barack Obama used YouTube to go directly to the people. Are you going to see more of this in political circles, Harris?
Yeah, and here's my prediction. The Obama campaign is so far out in front on the social media side, it's almost pathetic. On the other hand, I have seen some signs of life in Romney, and if he survives this clown show that they're calling the Republican primary process, if he survives it, I think he will be formidable in the social media area. They have a lot of money, and let's face it, social mediaists.
Social mediaists.
Ists are a pay-for-play profession. It's like I as an attorney, anyone else, you know, if you've paid enough money, you might even support somebody like Romney.
Joe Soto, what about the mobile explosion for social media?
Well, that's my favorite subject for 2012 because I think that, you know, I also have the company One Mobile Media. And, you know, I've done lots of presentations on QR codes, on how to convert your sites to mobile sites. I think that, you know, if businesses first and foremost don't have their websites adopted to be able to be viewed easily on a smartphone, that's going to be the first shift, is that you're going to see the emergence of mobile websites. Secondly, I think you're going to see that there's going to be a lot of social media platforms that are going to be reshaped or just launching solely for the mobile platform, such as the new company Shouts that came out, S-H-O-U-T-Z. That's a video delivery, 15-second video clips you can do from your mobile phone, and you can only use it for your mobile phone. Tout.com came out, T-O-U-T.com, and that's 15-second video clips. Shaquille O'Neal announced his retirement on Tout. These are 15-second video increments, and that people primarily use these social engagement tools on their mobile devices. And so without a mobile device, you wouldn't be using Shouts or Tout most likely. So I think you're going to see that there's going to be social media sites that will be launching and coming out just for mobile devices and not online.
And what the political arena and the entertainment arena have in common, Harris Wilder, is the use of mobile phones.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the gentleman just made a really great point. The ever-shrinking attention span of human beings will fit right into the new media and into the new technology that's coming.
Yeah.
Social media and the new technology that's coming, as well as the shrinking attention spans of human beings, has been our subject here today on Central Standard. Social media, where will it go? Time will only tell. Harris Wilder is a political consultant. Sean Edwards is a film critic for Fox 4 and founder of ILoveBlackMovies.com. And we also had Joe Soto, CEO of One Social Media, based in Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you, gentlemen. We also have a continued discussion about this subject on centralstandard.org on a blog post that we have today. Tune in tomorrow when we talk with the leaders of the upcoming Urban Summit here in Kansas City. Today's show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon with help from Danny Alexander and executive producer Bill Anderson. Up to Date is next with more media coverage, more media talk with the media critics. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your Happy New Year and enjoy your day.